Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Court of the Judiciary in Alabama violated the clear rule of law when they suspended, frankly removed, Chief Justice Roy Moore from the bench for the rest of his judicial career. We are appealing that case. We are seeking justice. But we have a very special guest to talk about this specific issue, Chief Justice Roy Moore, on Faith and Freedom. Welcome, Chief Justice.
Thank you, Mr. Staver. I appreciate you having me on your program.
Chief Justice Moore, we've been talking about this situation, about your four-page administrative order, and it's very easy for anyone to read. In that order, January 6, 2016, that you issued, which is the best way to describe it, a status report, a status of the pending case, that is the essence of the charge against you that ultimately they caused to, they based their opinion on to remove you. Now, the astounding thing is this, and 2 months ago, the Court of the Judiciary had before it a judge who had sent naked pictures of his genitalia. Excuse me for the language, but that's what he did. He sent naked pictures of himself to a litigant that appeared in his court, sent them to this person. Obviously, someone complained. The JSE gets charged. He gets to the Court of the Judiciary. And guess what do they do? They suspend him for 6 months. They suspend a judge who sends naked pictures of himself to a litigant who comes in his courtroom for only 6 months. And Chief Justice, they removed you. They suspended you for the rest of your term, 2.5 years, no pay, for writing an administrative order, writing something that is lawful, and they suspend you. I mean, the difference in the treatment is unbelievable.
Well, I think it shows their animosity. And it's their animosity to any Christian or anybody that stands with things of God. And I think that's what it's about. You have to get it down to the basic principles, and that's going on across our country. And will continue to go on because there's an effort to remove anything of God, any rules, any regulations, any institutions that our country historically recognized. And if you oppose that agenda, they come after you, and that's a violation of your freedom of religious exercise, freedom of religious liberty. I think one of the most valuable things our country was founded on is the freedom to believe what you want to believe about God. And, of course, they don't like any belief in God, and they don't want any expressions of a belief in God, and that's something that I've always done, I will continue to do, and I will not stop for any court. And we've got to stand up as Christians, or we're going to lose our rights of freedom of conscience. And Jefferson would have been appalled at something like this, or Madison, or any of our founding fathers that believed in these things. So it's something that we need to do as Christians is take a stand.
Now, the administrative order that you did, that is part of your duty as Chief Justice
right.
of the Alabama Supreme Court. You're over all of the probate judges and all the courts in that respect from an administrative function. But you also obviously participate in every case that comes before the Alabama Supreme Court and you vote. So as a Chief Justice, that's your duty to issue administrative orders. And in this particular case, there was confusion in Alabama. There was an order issued by the Alabama Supreme Court ordering the probate judges not to do marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Then there was a subsequent opinion by the U.S. Supreme Court that didn't address Alabama, but it was on the issue of same-sex marriage, and the probate judges were wondering, what do we do? So you issue this order, and essentially what you just said is the orders of the Alabama Supreme Court are outstanding. They've asked for briefing. They're still reviewing it. The decision will be forthcoming. I can't tell you which way you should go. I can't tell you which way the Supreme Court of Alabama is going to go. But those orders are still outstanding, and they're still in effect. It's a pure, simple, straightforward, black and white rule of law. And if the Alabama Supreme Court did not agree with that four-page order, then they are the ones. They are the ones that have the right to overturn it, modify it, or disagree with it. And they didn't express a single whisper against that administrative order.
I think the confusion in this case, Matt, arises from the fact that people believe that courts make law. The Supreme Court of the United States makes law. The Supreme Court of the United States, no more than any other court, can't make law. It's a violation of our three separate branches of government. The legislatures make the law. The courts interpret the law, but they say that a ruling by the Supreme Court is the supreme law of the land. Well, it's not a law, but it is to be recognized in all the states, provided it's constitutional. And if the court rules on the specific states, as they did in the Sixth Circuit, they're bound by that. And in other states that were not within that Sixth Circuit and under that ruling of the Supreme Court, they must recognize it as precedent. Now, they should recognize it as precedent as long as it conforms to the Constitution and doesn't conflict in the cases that they've got before them that are not on the same grounds or not on the same issues. So basically, people misunderstand the meaning of precedent. They misunderstand that the courts of the state, federal and state, then apply the interpretation given by the United States Supreme Court in cases before them. But in this case, Alabama was not before the Supreme Court of the United States, and we had already ruled prior to the United States Supreme Court issuing its opinion in the Burgerfeld versus Hodges. So when the Alabama Supreme Court took up the effect of a Burgerfeld on those existing injunctions, then it was then that the Supreme Court of Alabama could apply that as precedent. But in fact, they did not. They did not apply it at all, and they left the injunction standing. And that was far after my administrative order. But it verified the fact that in my administrative order, I said those were existing orders, and they're still existing.
Yeah, and unbelievably, the Alabama ACLU agrees with you.
That's right.
I mean, it's not oftentimes that we would be on the same page as the ACLU, but the Alabama ACLU in this case actually filed a brief March 25, 2016 that actually agreed with what you just said. And the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed with you, the Federal Court of Appeals, as well as another court, and they wrote three decisions on that same thing. And then a Kansas Federal District Court also agreed with you. And interestingly, Judge Callie Grenade, the federal judge in Alabama who issued the original decision against the marriage law, also agreed with you that the orders were still outstanding at the time that you issued that administrative order and that they remained outstanding.
And the only people that don't agree with me is the Court of the Judiciary who are not ruling by the law and by the facts before them. Excellent arguments you've made, and sometimes even good arguments and everything don't overcome their feelings. And we're not a nation that rules by our feelings, or we're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be ruling by the law. But when the Burgerfeld versus Hodges was decided, a lot of that changed in a lot of ways. Because as everyone knows, there was no history of same-sex marriage in our country. That completely contradicts our history and our law, in my opinion.
Well, and certainly that's another whole discussion there where the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court really took the other five, he called them lawyers, he didn't call them justices, and he didn't call them the majority, he called them lawyers, which is very unusual for a Chief Justice of the United States. I don't recall any time in history a Chief Justice saying that about the majority, but he said that he had some very strong words against their opinion. We'll talk about that more. But the amazing thing here is, as we bring this segment to a close, and you want to come back and listen to Chief Justice Roy Moore tomorrow on Faith and Freedom, is that I ultimately, when we got this opinion, began to contemplate on it and began to realize that the decision was made before the court even opened for session that day, that there was nothing that we could have done, no testimony we could have produced, no argument that we could have made that would have made this outcome any different. It was a predetermined decision by the Court of the Judiciary, because anyone who listens to and watches that argument and the evidence, no matter whether you're a lawyer or not, will come away understanding very clearly that this case should have been dismissed. And when it didn't get dismissed, and we can go into some specifics, the only conclusion you can come to is that this was a pre-written opinion, and no matter what the testimony and evidence was, they wanted to reach their own conclusions That is a clear violation of the rule of law. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.